All right, worship leader. Worship leader preparation for the worship team rehearsal. There's things you got to do before you even get to the rehearsal part. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, you show up at the rehearsal with all your team and the instrument and the song people, and they're committed for that two-hour period, mm-hmm. and they don't even always realize that there were many hours that the song. I see it, but.
Right.
Many hours that the song leader has to put in to get prepared.
They realize when you don't do it.
yeah. Things aren't transposed. People don't have music. Things aren't in order.
Right.
But really, the rehearsal goes only as well as the preparation for the rehearsal. So if you're a song leader, you know, how do you do that? So how to run a successful worship rehearsal? I think number one, you have to maintain the church songbook, which is made up of all the songs that the congregation knows.
Right, and the reason you want the church one, not that it's better than any other one, it's just that everyone then is literally on the same page.
Right.
I mean, we decided to play this song in such and such a key.
Right.
You might have three versions at home in different keys.
Right.
No, this is the one, and these are the chords we decided to use for this song. So, again, not necessarily better. It's just we're all together.
Right. So you get where, you know, you get your songbook. You assemble it.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a hymnal in your church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
that makes
part
it easy.
Of your songbook.
Right.
But then you might have some things that are not in the hymnal.
Right.
And then you need lead sheets of the non-hymnal songs. And the lead sheet is what?
That is words. And the chords with those words. And sometimes you'll also have the melody line written in there, which is nice if you have it.
But yeah, but a lot of times it's just words and chords. And so the timing and the melody and all those things, we're assuming.
Are the big unknown.
Yeah, the big unknown. And that's part of the challenge
right.
with contemporary music. And then certainly there's recordings of songs if they're available, so maybe online or
right.
CDs or in the United States you can get this license that allows you to do things with your singing team
right.
so that people can be listening to the same song.
And with our church, they usually try and put up a recorded version of the service every week. So then if I have new members who are just joining, I can go back in those
right.
videos and say, hey, listen to October whatever of 2013. We did
right.
it that day, and this is how I want to do it again. And that helps.
So people, you know, wherever you are at, you can actually listen to our worship service. We put it online. It's a
right.
video every week. It's at Path, the letter 2.
Number 2.
Jesus Way. .org. So path, PATH, the letter 2, JesusWay.org, and then I think it's under downloads or something, but you can watch.
Yep.
So that's what we have people do. They can listen.
And it's not perfect. It's
no.
not studio quality.
No.
It's straight out of the building, but at least it gives.
Yeah.
Okay,
gives
this is what
idea.
It's supposed to. This is what we're aiming for.
Yeah. Tasks of the worship leader: transpose songs where needed. Make songs singable.
Right.
What's that about?
That's a common problem with lots of the worship songs that are out there today. The worship leaders that are very popular tend to have a very
the
high
artists yeah.
tend to have a really high tenor voice, which the majority of the men can't sing that high. The women then are going, do I sing an octave lower? How do I add a harmony? It might be fine for your solo-y type people who can handle this, but our goal is to have the congregation singing, and if
right.
it's not singable for them, then we're not doing our job.
Right, so Chris Tomlin, for example, is a very popular
yep.
artist, wrote a lot of
and
good...
great songs that are...
Great songs.
Very not singable.
Well, yeah, in his key. He's got a really super high voice, and if you just leave it in the key that he... sang it, and a lot of times you download the music, that's what key it's in.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to transpose. So
that means I'm going to move it. Let's say he's written in the key of E, and it's way high for my people. So So this is the key of E on the keyboard. You can look down and go, okay, maybe the key of C would work out better.
So it's a few notes
that
lower.
Much lower. And I quite often will actually come to practice with it in the last one that we did. I think I brought in three different keys because I didn't quite know how's this going to work for the tenor? How's this going to work for the soprano voice? And then, and maybe you'll get to this later, sometimes when the guitarists are playing with it and they have it capoed, it just doesn't work in that key.
Yeah.
Maybe this song just isn't going to work.
Right.
And then to go farther on the singable thing, some of the most recent songs, they're gorgeous, they're great. We were talking earlier in a different session about the chorus, the bridge, all that stuff built up the song. Well, they are covering like a 2-octave range,
yeah,
which normal
range.
Humans
well, a lot of,
can't
I,
do.
Right, a lot of songs are doing they start one
yeah.
octave, and then when it gets real dramatic, they jump an octave.
They jump an octave.
And sometimes that jump it gets you pretty high.
Yeah, which maybe your congregation will just stay back in the
right.
regular octave, but I think they're kind of looking confused and going, what
yeah.
am I supposed to do now?
So there's getting the song singable. You may have to transpose for everyone to get everyone together. But then instruments sometimes need a lead sheet that's a different key than a piano. For example, I play a trumpet.
Which is in B flat.
It's a B flat instrument. So when I play a C, you have to play a B flat on your piano. And then we're doing the exact same note. So if I take the music that the keyboard is playing and the guitars are playing, and I want to add my trumpet to it, I have to look at the note and I have to think one note up and add two sharps to whatever it is, and it's hard for me to do that on the fly, so I'm not going to sing or I'm not going to play my trumpet. So then the director, the music director, has to somehow add two sharps and then raise the whole thing one note.
Right, and there are programs that will do that for you.
Yeah.
Although, typically, okay, so I'm playing just chords quite often when I'm playing the keyboard, but typically your instrumentalist needs a part written out because they're
yeah.
not just going to go,
they're not gonna pick
oh,
it out.
You're in whatever key, and now I'm
yeah.
supposed to play some alternate melody.
Yeah.
So quite often I'm writing out those
for
parts.
For a violin or a trumpet or an oboe or,
mm-hmm.
or something, because in a way those people are used to the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And guitar people are used to just playing
mm-hmm.
chords. Okay, choose songs for this week's service. You know, you have to put sort of the order together, get the pastor's input. I'm the pastor at our church, so she'll ask, you know, what's your sermon, and do you have any special number that you think would go with this? Songs that fit the worship order, and there's different ways of thinking about a service. There's the outer court of the Holy Holies. You know, the temple thing was there was an outer court and people did certain things, and everything about the temple was moving from your ordinary life closer and closer to the presence of God. So the songs sort of start out, you know, fun and lively, but as you move along, you're getting closer and closer to the Holy of Holies, and the songs become maybe more reverent and more contemplative. So that's one way to
mm-hmm.
sort of organize it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is from, you know, you might start off soft and then kind of build and get louder, or you might start out really loud and then and get really soft. Praise to prayer, you know, we're praising God, talking to God, or, you know, praising about God. Hey, let's praise God, shout for joy, all the earth. It's like we're talking to each other. Let's do this together,
right.
Let's go. And then eventually it becomes where we're actually talking to God. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful, you're awesome, you're, you know. Fun to serious might be the way that you organize it. I think a couple weeks ago you had me play, and I know some of those old songs and some of the kids' songs, and we just started out like we're having fun.
Right.
But then we kind of moved from fun.
Because you're also trying to wake people up sometimes,
yeah.
too. You're
yeah.
trying to get
so
them
hey, are
engaged.
You there? And get the kids involved and so on.
Right.
You might have songs for each intellectual or
liturgical
element. So, you know, might have a time of praise, and then you praise songs. Then you may have a time of confession, so you have a song of confession. You have the assurance of pardon, and you have a song for that. You may have an offering. You might have a song where we're giving ourselves to God. Then you have the sermon topic, and then you have a song that follows that. So you're actually just following the flow of the liturgy. Mm-hmm. In our church, we like to do a lot of singing all in one shot so that people kind of get going, but some churches sort of split it all up. And then this last one I have here, key flow. Mm-hmm. What, you know, to go from one key to the next.
Right. So let's say that my first song is in the key of D, and my second song, let's say all four or five songs in my set are all in the key of D. Yeah. That gets kind of boring. Yeah. So I quite often will pick, let's say, the first song in the key of D, but then the next song, or third song maybe, will go to... Remember Steve was talking earlier about the key of D has three, well, he said four, but three major chords. So the first chord, the one built off of the fourth note of the scale, the one built off of the fifth scale.
So in D
scale,
it would be D, A,
G,
D?
A.
Yeah.
D, G, A. Okay. So the next song might be starting in G.
So it would be one of those three.
Yeah. Yeah, because they link well together. Difference. If you go, let's say, from a D, the song is in D. Now all of a sudden I'm doing one in A flat. Whoa.
It's hard to get there.
Yeah, it doesn't nicely, it's like jarring. Where am I all
so
of a sudden?
So then it would be good for someone to say, read something in the Bible for
right.
you to get there.
Right.
But this, okay, so if you went from D to G, how would you do that? We're in the key of D.
And then the next is the key of G.
It sounds pleasant.
It sounds pleasant. It goes nicely from the...
So you could go, you're in the key of D, and how would you just kind of segue a nice little...
Well, the key of D has a D in the chord, obviously. So I have that as my top note. Now the key of G also has a D in the chord.
Okay.
In the G chord, it's the fifth. So I might keep that common from one song to the next.
So how would you do it? Have a little interval.
So I just ended the key of D, and now I go...
Okay. So then it just flows. So then you wouldn't even need someone to say anything. You can just, from one song, just slide right,
right.
into the next. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's one... You know, all these are just different options in terms of choosing the music and trying to get some kind of order. A lot of times people are like, I have no idea what order to put them in, and they just randomly put songs together. But, you know, these give you some help in terms of organizing. Mm-hmm. Then plan the transitions. You know, we sing one song, and then how do we get to the next song? And one way is to speak. Mm-hmm. You end the song and say, oh, it's just great to be here to worship together, or someone might have a prayer, or someone
right.
might have a...
And you should assign someone to do
yeah.
that if
so
you're not
you know,
doing it yourself. And that's something that should be prepared
okay.
and practiced. It's not just...
Okay, so how about a music interlude? what might that be?
You know, while like, they're talking?
No, like I'm in one song and now I just want to get to the other song, but I want to make a nice little musical connection to it. I don't want to just boom, boom, one chord. I just want to... How would you do that?
Well, what I just did, kind
okay.
of. So,
well, yeah.
some of them do end with just a big bang,
yeah.
but then...
But sometimes you'll play a little something to
yeah.
get there. You know, like it's just a little...
Right.
Are you just switching to that chord?
I usually
then,
I'm just switching
just,
into the
okay.
new key
and, then you
and
play
starting
like
an
a,
intro.
Like a first line of the
right.
song or the last song
yep.
or something.
Or
like
some
that.
Repetitive thing in there, and that can...
Or just bounce through the chords and that's it.
Yeah, could do that too. But that, again, is something that you practice with your singers especially. Well, everyone.
Yeah.
Because they need to know when to come in.
Right.
So,
okay.
yeah,
so,
it is something to practice.
Okay, then find and introduce new songs. Okay, so you have your songbook filled with songs
mm-hmm.
that your church knows and your people sort of know. Then you have to find new songs. People like something new, and so criteria for new songs. One is it's...
Well, is it singable?
Is it singable?
Which we've talked
yeah.
about already.
You may have to transpose.
Yeah.
Or is it theologically or biblically sound?
Right.
Okay, there's a lot of songs that, I mean, you're a music person, so you fall in love with a tune.
Right, the tune or the chord progression is just
or something like
really,
that, or the
really,
instruments,
because
you love music.
Yeah.
And I'm more like, you know, I'll hear the song, it's a great song, I love the song, but the words are just like, what?
Right.
What is this about? Or it's just, I don't even get what it's about.
Right. So if I fall in love with a song and think, you know, this might be doable, I always bring it to someone else and say, some a word person, and say,
right,
okay, is this okay? Is this what our church believes? Is
right.
this providing a balanced aspect of the gospel? Are all of our songs, am I getting ahead of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Are all of our songs just praise songs and no petition?
Yeah.
Are, you know,
or none of them teach anything?
Right.
Or they're not very deep. They're all kind of shallow. Or,
yeah. None mention the Holy Spirit ever.
Right.
You know, is
right.
there a balanced Trinity?
Right.
You know, there's so
all
many things theologically that you want to cover.
Right. Fit the vision of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is your church just people that have always gone to church, or are you trying to reach out to your community? And then how does the music that you're choosing and the songs that you're choosing, how does it fit who? You know, how are the older people going to handle it? How are the newer people going to handle it? And a lot of times it's really just in the introduction of a song. With new people, or even with the people you have, hey, we're starting a new song, and you're not going to know it maybe. Maybe you will sing along. If you don't, just listen a couple times, and then as you get it, sing along. Then as the worship leader, you have to write out a lead sheet for the worship team members and transpose it. So you have this new song. Maybe you heard it on the radio. Maybe it's in the CD or something. But somehow you have to get it in a unified form.
Mm-hmm.
These are the words. You know, otherwise we're guessing and people have their own words. And these are the chords that we're going to be using.
Right.
And the worship leader has to sort of figure that out.
Right.
Or we'll start, you know, someone plays an A minor and someone else doesn't. And
there's lots of resources out there. They're not always correct. You know, somebody puts online, hey, I've got all the chords for this new worship song. And then you play through it and you go, nope, you missed a couple here or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's good to, you have to check that before you just go handing it out. You have to make it your own, in other words.
Right. 7, communicate with the worship team members. So you've done all this work, but they're just sitting at home and they don't know what's happening. So you need to send them the list of the songs. You need to give them the order. We're going to go from this to this to this. The responsibilities of each team member.
Yeah, I expect my people to practice, you know, work on this at home, learn the song well enough so that, I mean, it takes a little while, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not like I want it perfect the first week, you need to have it or else. That's not it. I just expect them to be working on it, have all their music pulled for new songs, but also just for the normal list.
Lead sheet of any new song, so the words, of course, and the chords, and if possible, a recording.
Right.
It's hard to see the vision for a whole new song. And you know, you could just meet at practice and everyone goes, what should we do? And you create this new thing, you know, that your group sort of picked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can do that. And once in a while, I know you do that. But if you do that every week, you'll never get anywhere. I mean, you'll just never have enough time. I mean, worship bands are incredible, really. Because, you know, the professionals that go around and give concerts and so on, they learn 12, 15 songs and they sing them 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they know them so well. Whereas worship teams, you know, we're singing all these songs and we hardly have any time. And you practice them a few and then you throw it together. So any help along the way.
Right. And it just simplifies it to try, I guess, for myself. If it's not something we've written, we try and keep it as close to the original as possible because it makes that learning time so much shorter.
Not sure.
And we don't have to have those big discussions about
what way we're going to do
where
it.
Where does the solo fit in or whatever.
Exactly. Number 8, communication with the AV team members. So again, if you project, people use PowerPoint and so on, projectors these days, they need the list of the songs so they can project them and make sure the words are correct. The order is the right order. The lyrics of any new song that are being introduced, they don't have them, and so you have to send them and you know, position them, you know, send them the way you want it.
Right.
So that it's easy to sing, otherwise they'll just put them up in whatever random order they want to.
Right.
And it makes it harder to sing. Number nine, teach basic music theory to the music team members. So, you know, if you have time, you know, your whole team needs to learn and grow in music. Maybe some don't know how to read notes. They still don't know what keys are, chords, transposing. Get them to learn how to transpose, and then you don't have to do all the work. You can say, here's the song. We're doing this key. You know, the trumpet. You know, I can transpose. So, you know, instead of the music director doing all the work, it's like, hey, do you have time? Could you transpose your own? This is the key.
Right.
Here's the original.
Or we quite often have even the guitarist will want to capo it to get a different sound. So
they got
to
figure out.
I quite often hand him, I know he can do it, I hand him the blank sheet with the words, because why must he recreate that? And he has what I've written out for, let's say, the keyboard, that now he can easily
And we'll talk about the capo under the guitar section, how that's easy to make guitar. You can transpose fairly easy with that. The lead sheets, you can assign some other people, look, here's this song we like, write out the words, put the chords in, and then we'll do it together. And harmony, teaching people how to, you know, challenging someone that's only singing melody and going, okay, I think you could do alto, why don't you stand next to her and start singing with her, and over time they sort of get it. So in other words, don't just leave people where they're at, develop the talent that you have. Okay, the task of the worship team member. So the worship leader has all this stuff to do, but the team members have stuff to do before we rehearse as well. Number one.
Practice and practice more.
Right. I mean, really, the list of songs for the week, of course, you got to practice those, get them so you know them. But any new songs that are being worked on or even not scheduled for the coming week, but hey, you know, it takes a while to learn a new song, so practice the ones we're doing, make sure you get them, but then work on some of the new songs that we're trying to learn too. Have ready any special assignment given by the worship leader. Maybe you have to transpose it, or maybe you're in charge of the transition that we're going to change from this song to this, and we want the guitar player is doing a little picking thing.
Right. You're doing the intro, so be ready.
Yeah, so you can pick different people for doing those intros. And then everyone needs to keep their songbook neat. You know, you take five songs out for this week, put them back, or you're going to have this mess, and you can't find anything, and it's a disaster. And then, two, you know, the next time you do the song, you have to give someone a lead sheet again, and there's no markings on it. There's nothing we talked about before. You don't remember any of it. It's like...
Yeah. That would be another thing to put on there is, you know, come with a pencil so that you're ready to write stuff down.
Exactly.
Because memories aren't always...
No.
It's good to just,
you know,
keep
3 months later, you can't remember...
Right.
You know, what we did last time. Right. So people tend to rely on the worship leader to remember again. And then you end up, I mean, I've watched you end up teaching the person again the same stuff, the same phrase, the same stuff that they should have written down in the first place. Yep. And sometimes it's me that you're talking about. Anyway, okay, so that's, you know, there's other things that you could do, of course, too. But if you get these sort of basics down, get everything prepared, keep your songbook neat, get your people practicing, then when you come to the rehearsal, you'll make the most use of your time.